It is time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage for Robinhood Radio and exclusive to Robinhood Radio. David is a multimedia and international journalist with his own online column at themediabeat.us. And as a special correspondent since 2012, he has contributed TV reports to the PBS network, mostly on ethical issues. Here's David.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning July 5th, 2024. I hope you had a good Independence Day, if you're listening somewhere that celebrates it. Without any intended irony, just happenstance this year, July 4th was also Decision Day for the country from which the USA declared itself independent nearly 250 years ago. The people of Britain decided to finally eject its government after 14 years in power. Since it's my home country of origin, I can't really fail this weekend to dwell on the massive change that's taken place there. In a way that could feel familiar to many Americans as their election draws near, the British public's decision was mainly one of rejection of one side rather than enthusiastic approval of the other. But change, it definitely is. And it's worth considering the strength of that popular rejection. Rejection of the Conservative Party under Rishi Sunak, the last of five Tory leaders and prime ministers, three of whom tumbled over themselves in a remarkable swift turnover in the government's most recent years. Sunak looked doomed, and it was a wild, in fact desperate, gamble for him to call the election a few weeks ago, something any UK prime minister is allowed to do himself or herself. It was even more reckless a gamble than when President Emmanuel Macron declared an election across the Channel in France, since Macron was at least not dicing with his own ejection from office, merely, though that's not the right word, replacing his legislative body, the National Assembly. For Britain, Sunak's unpopularity wasn't singular, aimed solely at him. "Good riddance to the Tories," meaning all of them, was the headline in a bi-monthly London magazine that appeared as soon as the election was called, and it very simply and fully sums up the current public mood. It's a broad discontent, and it amounts to much more than massive buyer's remorse about Brexit, which was the most historic event during the Tories' period in charge. Legislation to enact it was labelled the longest suicide note in history by opposing Labour Party people. This wasn't, interestingly enough, the first use of that phrase in British politics. It's piquant to recall it was used earlier, in the 1980s, by Tories, about the then severely leftist manifesto presented by Labour, who vowed, again ironically, to take Britain out of Europe. Labour lost that election to the incumbent Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, and that effectively created another long period of Tory control, ending only after 17 years for that administration, Thatcher and John Major after her. Brexit is just one part of Britain's current disaffection with the Conservatives. COVID probably matters just as much or more. And especially Boris Johnson's spectacularly cynical and blithe misrule throughout the ravages of the disease. Memories of that misrule, not least the callousness of Johnson's reported remark, "Let the bodies pile high in their thousands," have totally outweighed some considerable success during the pandemic, like the dramatically fast production, with government support, of the COVID vaccine developed at Oxford University. The misrule is perhaps most remembered with contempt for Johnson's presiding over drunken parties at No. 10 Downing Street, a suitcase crammed with wine bottles featured in one story. All this while the rest of the nation was in somber lockdown, not even able to gather for family funerals. Even though Johnson was long gone by this year's spring, photographs kept being reproduced in recent weeks of the late Queen Elizabeth sitting alone, wearing a mask in a royal chapel, mourning her husband who died during COVID. Alongside that redolent picture, pointed reminders were published of the Downing Street revelries. Not fair on Sunak, maybe, But the road to Sunak from Johnson was no help either. That road went by way of Liz Truss. Remember her? Her time in Downing Street is best marked by the perfect visual analogy of the time. Again, a photograph, published daily in the Star tabloid newspaper, of the progress in decay of a grocery store's lettuce, which ended up infamously lasting longer than Ms. Truss's premiership of 49 days. She was swiftly brought down by a spectacularly misguided economic policy that terrified the financial markets, and that ushered in the supposedly more economically literate Rishi Sunak. These now seem like mere ripples on the surface of a deep reservoir of British dismay with their government. The entire sweep of the past 14 years came to be typified by what I can only describe as sleaze, a word that dates me somewhat, back in fact to the years when Tony Blair rode to power, defeating a Tory administration that was drowning in sleaze. Notably, members of Parliament, including at least one former government minister, accepting money from commercial interests for promoting certain issues in the House of Commons. The brown envelope stuffed with banknotes became a symbol for corrupt politics. Its modern-day equivalent has included mounting evidence of companies linked to senior Tories or their families benefiting from government emergency funding that dated from the COVID period. More fundamentally, 14 years of Toryism have left Britain a much poorer place. Employment has not totally plummeted, but what new jobs have been created have been lowly paid and highly insecure. Last year, the government's economic growth rate was 0.1%. The proportion of children living below the poverty line has been climbing fast, to now account for more than a quarter of the nation's youth, and it's a faster climb than any such increase over the past 30 years. In 2010, when this most recent Tory run began, food banks or food pantries were virtually unknown in Britain. But last year saw over 3 million food bank packages being handed out, in itself a near doubling of the previous 5 years' handouts. The watchword under the Conservatives was austerity, proudly vaunted as tough but essential medicine that the country needed after the financial crisis of 2008. It brought massive cuts in public spending, so that now, 14 years later, Britons access most of their essential services through private companies, often of dubious efficiency. In consequence of minimal public investment, the housing market is horribly distorted, with ownership prices soaring along with private sector rents, and meanwhile there's been severe shrinkage in public and affordable housing. That housing situation has made a sick joke of one of the Tories' loudest mottos. They claimed that austerity, their whole economic approach indeed, amounted to, I quote, "fixing the roof while the sun shines." That would be, the public was supposed to believe, ahead of whatever rainy days might be coming in the future. The same magazine whose Good Riddance headline I cited earlier looked back on the Tory slogan while the electoral defeat was looming close, and it concluded, "The roof is gone now, and there is nowhere to escape the rain." We could have expected as much, I suppose, given those now classic television images from the day Rishi Sunak announced the election, standing outside No. 10 Downing Street, getting soaked in a rainstorm he evidently did not foresee. But will a Labour government led by Keir Starmer do any better? As I said, the public hasn't seemed very enthusiastic about him even while voting for him. His possibly most significant characteristic is that he was once a very steady, stern and insistent public prosecutor. I haven't yet seen this phrase in print, but my friends among the political correspondents of Westminster who enjoy anagrams have been jokily swapping the initial consonants of the Labour leader's name. It's that simple subset of the anagram called a spoonerism, and if you apply it in this case, Keir Starmer becomes Steer Calmer. This could just about be, if your wordplay extends into superstition, a good augury for Britain's future. That's all from the Media Beat this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.us.